We'll start from the beginning of chapter 17. And we're in the middle of the great rebellion of Shalom to his father, King David, David HaMelech. And the basic idea was that this was a punishment for his sin that he had done. And we mentioned that sometimes a person's challenge in life is to see how they act when things are down. Do they hold it all together? Do they pick themselves up? And that's one of the lessons of the Tehillim and David HaMelech. He realized this was a punishment for his own sins or what he had done wrong, and it was a big challenge for him, especially the way it happened. There is a question here, and that is, what were the Jewish people thinking? We had sided with Avshalom. The vast majority of the people had sided. It appeared like David HaMelech had sinned, and we needed new leadership. And it makes sense if the old leader had sinned and was deposed with Hashem's will, obviously. And he had this Avshalom who was, if you remember, he won the hearts of the people, and he was very handsome and very had a lot of charisma. And now he was running the show. Now, the question was, what was the intention of the new government? Was it to assassinate the old government? Or was it, no, we just want to take things over, and we will, David HaMelech will find him some place to retire, and they'll keep him out of trouble. And did Avshalom really intend to kill his father or not? So most people assume that he originally didn't intend that. But he was led on that path by Achitophel. Now, Achitophel, we'll see, had his own agenda, and in the end, he's one of the people that does not have a good end. He advised other people, and last week we learned how he advised Avshalom to take his father's wives, if you remember, which was a terrible thing. Now he gives advice how to conquer his father, how to secure the monarchy. So let's see. Vayom Achitophel Avshalom. Achitophel tells to Avshalom, Efker na shnai maser elefish. By the way, he says, please let me do this. I want to help you. Let me choose 12,000 men. Vakuma, and I will get up. Ve'erdfa, and I will run and chase. Achri David ha'layla. Doesn't even call him David HaMelech, right? He's not the King David. I'll get him right now. Often, when people are things are still moving, when a person sees he's successful, that's the time to person's on a run, so to speak, on a roll. So you just keep on going. Don't, if you stop, then forget it. It's lost. You're successful. Keep on going. So Achitophel said, "Let's do it this very night. I'll do it right. Let's do it right away. Let's not give David a chance to regroup." And see, Achitophel was concerned that if Avshalom would do it, he would have pity on his father, and he wouldn't kill him, and then it would be a mess. So he said, let me do it, and he said, I'll go chase David tonight. Now, he has a detailed plan. This is what he says. First of all, he says, Vavoy love who you got. Come tonight, and he'll be tired, or Rafiya Dayim, and he'll be weak-handed, Bechratatiyosa, and we'll scare him. When people are first on the run, when they travel, they're not settled. People are unsettled. They're not ready. They're not ready for things. So now's the time to go. When he's just moved out, he's not sure of his plans. That's the perfect time to attack. And he says, "Venasa kolama shirita." Now the people that are with him, they're not in the mood to fight. They don't know what the issues are. They're not going to put up any. They're not going to fight. The Kesi SML Havado. And the plan will be not to kill the other people. Just go for the king. That we're only after David HaMelech. Vashiva kol amelecha. And instead of having a civil war, we will try just to take out the king. This will be an assassination. Let's go take care of David. And everybody else will come back to you. Kashuva kol isha shirata bevakish. Chaim Yerushalm. There's no reason to punish the people that are loyal to your father. We'll bring them all back. So this was the Achitophel's plan. Verse 4 of Yeshua Dove, Avshalom, so that's a great plan. No one could argue with that plan. It made a lot of sense. In other words, you first of all, you don't fight against everybody. Just go for David HaMelech. You go before they have a chance to regroup, before they, before they're secure, before they've got everything. One of the reasons for the Six-Day War in Israel was that the Arabs had recently acquired lots of weaponry from the former Soviet Union, and they didn't yet have a chance to learn how to use it and make it operable. And so they felt that if they waited a year or two, then they'd be in big danger. And so the idea was to attack before they... It was in the middle of changing weaponry between one set of tanks and another set of tanks and airplanes, and they had... It takes a while to... You know, it's like you get a new... some new electronics or something. You got to figure out how to use this stuff. And so if you attack right away, you have that advantage that they haven't yet mastered that new... the new stuff. So we said, let's go right away and let's attack. And... let's just shoot for David HaMelech. It's not a war against the other people. And not only that, we'll bring everybody else back. So that was his strategy. So now, interesting thing happens. Verse 5, V'yom Rav Shalom karano agam l'chushay archi. Avshalom says, let's go ask someone else for advice. Let's ask somebody who knows David very well. And that was Hushai, who had been one of David's advisors from old times. Venisha Mabafiv Gamhu, let's see what he has to say. Often you try to get more than one set of advice. You get a second opinion, right? Why do you get a second opinion if you're not sure if the first opinion is what you want to do? Mm-hmm. Perhaps Avshalom wasn't so comfortable with the idea of killing his father. So he, even though everybody listened to Achitofel, it made sense. It says even the elders liked what he had to say. Perhaps he really didn't want to do it. When you really don't want to do something, you say, let's get another opinion. Maybe there's some other way to go. So, v'yavo Hushai el Avshalom, Hushai comes to Avshalom v'amashav v'leimor, kadavar zeh dibur Achitofel. He said, this is what Achitofel said. Hanase es dvora im ayin ata dibur. Should we listen to him or not? What do you say? Now keep in mind, until that point, he was always listened to. When Achitofel spoke, people listened. His advice was always on the mark. Now, he couldn't say Achitofel doesn't know what he's talking about, so he said, this time he didn't get it right. All the other times you're right, he usually gets it right. But this time he didn't. And Vayoma Hushai, he says, Atiya Datiya Savicha, he says, you know your father, Vesanoshiv, and you know the warriors that were with him, Ki Giborim Hema. David HaMelech was a legend. If you remember, he defeated the 1,000 Philistines, you know, and he defeated Goliath, and the odds would be, you know, he'd come with a small army, and he'd Shaul had surrounded him, and there was no way out, and he would get away. So, he was a legend while he was still alive, and he says, you know your father, you know the people around him. And he says, it's such an interesting way of saying it. He says, Hema mori nefesh hema. You're thinking that now's a good time to attack because they're not settled and they're... He says, you know what? They're bitter right now. They are angry. Anger makes people fight. When someone gets angry, you don't want to get someone angry. When you get angry, that's when they... He says, Shikol, they're like a bear. You wake up a wild bear in the field. Avich ish milchama. And so that's first of all. First of all, he says it's not a good idea to attack now because they're very upset. They're very motivated. And if you attack now, let them calm down, let them be in the field a little while. Time will be to our advantage. Don't attack now when they're hot, they're angry. And then number two, this isn't the first time your father's fought a war. Vavicha Ishmocha, it's interesting, he reminds him, your dad. You notice that? You know, he says, we're talking about your dad over here. This isn't just go kill the rebel over here. This is your dad. Your dad has been in war before. And you should respect him a little bit. You know, can't just take him out over here. There are some people that... it's not so clear whether he was advising to capture him or to kill him. But I think many of them learned that he just was saying, all right, you can capture him. But your dad, Avicha, your dad, is a man of war. He's trying to speak to him as, you know... He's your dad, below you, and he's not going to let himself be captured like that. Yeah.
Why is the Hushai guy also mad at David?
Oh, he's not mad at David. Mm-hmm. He was the secret agent, if you remember.
Okay, so he's just telling us. Okay.
He's the plant. Okay. If you remember, David said to him, you know, you could help me more by staying back than you can by coming through. Right. He's the fifth column over here. So, Yeah, he was the one that came in. Verse 9. And he says, you know something? You think David is in the open? He's not going to be. He's in one of the caves. So the question, though, is what's the risk? So let's say you don't get David. Why not try? Let's try. So the answer is you can't try. You know why? Because if you're going to try, v'shama shomea, and people will hear that you blew it and you weren't successful, people will say that you're not a good leader. They're saying that your side's losing. So you never want to do the first move you make to be a bad move. As a leader, the first thing you do should be successful. So don't rush into this. You rush into this, you make a mistake, the people will never follow you. So he's pushing all the buttons here, Hushai. He's mentioning your father. He's mentioning that David is going to be like a wild bear. You don't want to get him angry, and you know it's not going to be so easy to find him. And if you say, well, what do you got to lose? Well, if he messes up on this first battle, people will say Absalom's men don't know what they're doing. So Hushai ben Chayil. And now he continues on. Now, question is what he's adding over here. He says also, now, what if the warrior that's fighting David is a very good warrior? If Achitofel has the heart of a lion, Hamas Yimas, he still will give up hope. Ki Yedei Kol Yisrael Ki Gibor Avicha Uvenei Chayil Asher Ito. Even if you have very good fighters with you, everybody knows what David is. And so you think, well, if I send good warriors, they won't come back empty-handed. It takes more than that to go against David HaMelech. And again, he says, let's look at the words at the line of Enoki, Gibor Avicha, your father again. He's giving it to him about your father. He's you know, this is your dad you're talking about. So, therefore, the plan to go kill him and to go attack him, that's foolish. Don't do that. Verse 11. Ki yatzdi os, I'll tell you what you should do. Osei ve'lecha kol Yisrael. Make a big powwow and get every Jew to agree. Of course, it'll be easy to get all the Jews together, right? We've been working on that for how many thousands of years to get everybody together, right? To get all the shuls to agree on something, right? Nidan on Beersheva. So, it should be easy. We all agree on the same thing, right? That's right. That's right. So, it sounds good on paper, right? Everybody should agree. Like, sometimes you have something that you think that nobody can disagree with it. You know, there'll be someone who will say, I don't agree. You know, you have to expect that, right? So, but he was trying to stall. Hushai. So he says, you know what? Let's get everybody together. There's nothing like the, and we'll get like the number, the sand on the sea, and we'll have so many people that there's no way we can lose. Verse 12. And we'll come against the place. We'll come like the dew. You know, he's using like a poetic. We'll fall like the dew. The dew falls. It's like everywhere. It's, wherever you go, there's dew on the ground. But in other words, if you come with a small force, he can hide from the small force. But if you come with masses and masses of people, so there's no way to avoid us. We'll attack him and all the people with him. We can't let any of them escape. Email ear Yosef Esiu call Yisrael ear, and if he wants to hide in the city, we'll have so many people with him that we'll pull out. Everyone will pull out a stone. Ad nachad asher lo nipsa sham gam swor. There'll be so many people that there'll be no chance for him to hide anywhere.
Rabbi, isn't it significant that what Hushai says to him is to Absalom, you shall go.
Yes. Yes.
In other words, you're not going to send your army, but you have to go and lead.
Yes. 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 Well,
because the rest of the story.
Yes,
on that.
That's right. That's right. Well, first of all, he was hoping that if Avshalom went, he might take pity on his father and not kill him. Whereas if the other people went, also if Avshalom would get killed or captured, then the battle would end. And so he had that in mind. People that are arrogant, they like to hear about themselves. They like to be the hero. They like to have something that they can win the battle. They can have the glory. So Avshalom, you know, with the beautiful hair, and he was so this appealed to him because he would lead the troops to victory, and it was a sure thing. He said, you'll take enough troops with you, it'll be a sure thing. There'll be no way that he'll get away. And so this was the advice that Hushai gave him. Hushai felt that by the time he got this together, there would be time for David to escape or to put up a reasonable defense. And he probably felt that they would never get everybody together, and they would just decide to attack. Most people say they didn't get everybody together, as we're going to see. So let's see what happened. This was Hushai's plan. V'yom Rav Shalom v'kol Yish Yisrael. So this time Rav Shalom, and this also, part of the reason that he lost the leadership was he was indecisive. Everybody hates, you know, well, leaders says, well, we'll try this, we'll try that. If this doesn't work, we'll try that. Make up your mind, you know. One day you follow Achitofel, one day you follow this. So Avshalom l'kol Yisrael tova to Achitofel. We like this advice. Matt says, it's better advice than the Achitofel case. Now, if you look at the advice, really, Achitofel's advice made sense. So why did that happen? Why would people follow bad advice? So this is the verse here, 14, is like split in the middle. I don't know if you see on the English, like, "Vahashem sivu lahafir tzatzei." This was Hashem's plan that that caused them to follow bad advice. Hatovu lavur havi Hashem el Avshalom esara, in order to bring on the evil. Sometimes we ask in the about, you know, the Holocaust. Well, why didn't they think to do this? You know, and sometimes Hashem sometimes just doesn't cause people to think clearly. It doesn't cause them to have the right advice. There's a famous story with the 9 days that that they took Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he escaped from the city of Yerushalayim in a coffin, and they brought him to the Roman leader, and the Roman leader was pleased with him, and he gave him his wish. He said, "Give me three wishes." And so the question they had was, why didn't he ask him to spare the city? So one view was, had he asked for that, it wouldn't have been given to him. You ask for too much, you get nothing. The other view is that Hashem didn't give him the presence of mind to think that. So sometimes we have to say that. We like to play terrible games with ourselves in situations in life, that maybe something happened and somebody passed away or something happened, and we say to ourselves again and again, well, why didn't we think of that different? And we hit ourselves over that. Hashem runs the world. We don't control these things. If Hashem causes us to follow a certain advice at a certain time, there's nothing we can do. It was part of the divine plan. If we decided to do X, Y, Z, or we didn't decide, sometimes, in other words, we, to some extent, we have to realize Hashem runs the world. And we can't necessarily go back and say, well, why didn't I think of this? We don't control our thought. We ask Hashem to give us good advice. We ask Hashem to put us in the right place in the right time. We ask that we make the right decision. But we have to realize that some of that process, I used to teach, you know, high school kids, and sometimes they'd be tempted to cheat. And I would say to them, you think it makes sense. You know, who do you think gives you memory? Hashem. So you think that you're going to please Hashem by, you know, if he knows that you're copying other people's answers, it's not going to, you know, it's ultimately Hashem, you'll get only what you're expected to get anyway. You can't, cheating doesn't pay, because there's Hashem in the world. And so that, to some extent, the thought process also, what people choose to do, is sometimes led by Hashem. And so over here, that was the command of Hashem that Achitofel was not going to succeed. So it's just interesting how that sometimes works. Sometimes free will, we have an idea that the heart, that leaders are controlled by Hashem, they're like puppets. And that sometimes whether they want to or not, they become the instrument to do Hashem's will. We've had, you know, had people like Nixon, hated Jews. They have the tapes now. He said terrible things about you. He's the one who saved Israel. Yom Kippur War. He's the one who said that Kissinger didn't want to give the Israelis any more ammunition. We ran out of ammunition. He said, send it over. He's this terrible anti-Semite who hates the Jews. In his private tapes, we have them now. He said the worst things. And yet, when the time came, when Israel needed to be saved, he's the one who said, you know, send them the planes. You know, give them. Well, some people say it was because he heard the Soviets were rearming the Arabs. So he said, well, if they're rearming the Arabs, he's not going to let the Soviets get one up on him. So he was going to arm the Jews. And whatever the reason was, It was Hashem's will that Israel be saved. Many people felt, they say that Moshe Dayan had said after the beginning of the Yom Kippur War, Zeh Churban Hashlishi, this is the third destruction, because they had lost the war. At the beginning of wars, they had lost the, they had run out of ammunition, they didn't have the spare parts to run the equipment, there were like six tanks between the Syrian army and Tel Aviv, and the way it looked on that day of the war, it was finished. And then Nixon said, get them the planes, I don't care what you got to do, send them our stuff. And we got the American supplies, they didn't have to wait, and they regrouped, and there was a very small group of tanks that... the idea, though, is that ultimately things are in Hashem's hands. And so sometimes you can have a person who maybe didn't want to help the Jews, but at that moment that was his job, was to help the Jewish people, and he did. We didn't find out until much later how much, you know, these tapes that came out where he said, you know, he talked about how many Jews are, you know, he just really had the, recently, within the last few years, they came out with some of these tapes.
But you know, it just shows that if you're a leader, you have to be pragmatic as well as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see all sides of an issue, no matter what your personal feelings
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can say, go out and kill all the Jews, but then you
got to
think about what...
I can't let the Russians get ahead on the Arab world, that's right.
So, pragmatism is very important in a leader, and we sometimes say, oh, he waffles too much, but he's thinking, you know, all sides of the problem.
Well, the real miracle was when Israel, when they took the vote to found Israel, Stalin said, vote for the Jewish state, which,
right.
You know, he was also a terrible anti-Semite, and he was pragmatic because he said, that's how we'll get England out of the Middle East. And so, but the idea, though, is that we have to see the hand of Hashem in things. We have to realize that sometimes Hashem controls the leaders and controls other people. And so here, Hashem caused... Avshalom not to follow good advice.
Okay.
Now, Boma Hushai. Now, Hushai, he wasn't sure. He didn't even think that Avshalom would follow his advice, because Achitophel's advice was easy. Achitophel basically offered to lead it himself and said, I'll do it tonight. I'll take, what do you got to lose? So Hushai was afraid that, and also I guess he sensed that Avshalom was indecisive. So he was afraid maybe he'll change his mind again. So Boma Hushai Tzadok Lev Yasser. So he called his two spies. The Sadokan of Yasakan Kazos Yasa, he said, this was Achitophel's plan. That's Avshalom. Vesik Nisra, Kazos Yatsiani, and this is my plan. So this way, David would know both plans. First, 16. Mata Shilko Mehera, quickly go and speed and tell David, Gidu Ludavid, Lamor. Tell David, Altona Halila. So it's so interesting. He didn't think David was hiding. He agreed with Achitophel. He says, go tell David, you better hide tonight. Because nobody expected him to attack that night. It was a brilliant strategy because when people just come in, they're not ready to run. You know, you just get home, you're not ready to put your shoes out and go run, right? So that was so he said, you know, you're going to find David, he's not going to be ready for it. You better go tell him. And you should tell him to pass over the Jordan, Tantuvalu Melo Kolam Ashrito, because it's dangerous. Verse 17. The Yonasan Bachima Somdi Main Rekel. So they were standing in Rev Holkla Shifka Gidulahem. They went and they got the message. Vahim Yelchub Gidulah Melech Dovin. They went to notify the king. Hilo Yuchalaris Level Ear. They couldn't be seen. They had to be given the message in secret, because if somebody left, if Hushai had told them and he was seen, then it would have been obvious. So they were told through a messenger. Verse 18, there was one problem, though. The Yar Osamnar, there were spies. And somebody saw them, the Yagil Avshalom, and it was told to Avshalom that two runners were leaving the city to the camp of David. The Yelchishne and Mehera, they were going quickly, so they had to hide. So they went to somebody's house in Bechurim. And this is really fascinating. And anybody want to guess whose house they went to? From Yeshua? Well, that was many centuries earlier. That's right. Doesn't say that she was an innkeeper over here. The person, you remember the guy that was throwing the stones at David? And this is his wife. And so she's going to save these two runners. She was sympathetic to David. And so it's almost like this is the second instance. We have this with Abigail as well, that The husband is one way, and the wife is another. And so it's just such an interesting irony. Like, you just don't know. Now, if David had executed Shimi ben Gera, who was this fellow, you can imagine his wife wouldn't be there, and then this whole thing wouldn't have happened. And so it actually turned out that she, because if you remember, when David was leaving, he had the house that was like the last house on the outskirts. And so he was yelled. So now that they're going to escape the city, they went and they hid in this exact same house.
Wasn't he the one who, in addition to the stones, he cursed?
He cursed and was his own wife. They had cases like that with the Nazis sometimes, where like the husband would be a guard or whatever, or the kid would be a guard, and the parents would there, and somebody else would save them. Below there, so they had a well. The Yad Hashem, so they hid in the well. The Tika Keisha, that mentions the woman. Where's the man? She couldn't even tell her husband what she was doing. The Tifish is a month up, so what she did was she hid him under the pool cover, under the well cover. Now, she was smart, though. They might look there. So what she did was, the Tishnik of Harifos, she put some old grain over there to make it look like it hadn't been moved in a long time. She did something to give it that moldy smell or whatever. Verse 20, the Yavu Abdi Avshalom Elisha Habaisis. So the servants of Avshalom came to the woman, and they said, oh, hey, where they're hiding here. Where's Achimetz and Yonasan? They even knew who they were. V'talmar la'misha. Oh, they left a while ago. Michal Amai, they passed the river. That's long. Yivakshu, they searched for Lamatsu, they went to Yerushalayim. They thought they escaped. That's what they advise people running away, by the way, is what they do. Prisoners who escape from prison also, is they don't keep on running, because sooner or later they'll catch up to them because they're on foot. What they're supposed to do, if you read these kind of books about people that escape prison camp, they're supposed to hide out for a few days until the search is called off. I was reading about people that escaped in the Holocaust. They hide out a few days until the search is called off, and then they can really escape. But if they're trying to escape while they're being searched for, it's very dangerous. So that's exactly what they... Had they been trying to escape, they would have been caught. But what they did was they hid until the search was called off, and then they were able to escape. That's a good technique. I don't know what anyone... Hopefully no one will ever need to use it, but that's the... you see from Tanakh, such a technique. Like, if you learn, that's why they did that over here, that they were being searched for. They wait till the search was called off. Verse 21, and it was after they left, and they left the well. And they told the king, they told the king, get up. It's very interesting. It's almost like they ordered him. Look at the words. Kuma, get up. You better get out of here quick. This is what Achitofel said. This is what Achitofel might do. 22. David got up, and all the people that were with, they must have been exhausted. They were traveling all day. And you know what it is to settle in a camp? You know, in those days, if you settled in the camp, you had to chop the wood, you had to build the tents, you had to get the fires going, you had to set up the scouts. And so they probably were just about settled, or they had started settled for the night. And he comes and he says, don't stop here, keep on. So David gets there, they cross the Jordan, Ad Or Boker. The whole night they traveled, Ad Echelo Neder, Shelo Ever. And every single one, all the men crossed the Jordan. So David and his men safely escaped. Meanwhile, back to the Achitofel camp, 23. Achitofel. Now, Achitofel, it's very interesting. So they didn't follow his advice. Now, he wasn't discredited. In fact, Hushed said, this time his advice isn't so good. Achitofel saw the handwriting on the wall. He was very, he thought there was a chance that Avshalom would succeed, especially if Avshalom killed David. That was it, right? So now that he saw that things weren't happening the way he expected, and he saw that Avshalom wasn't acting like a real leader, he realized that it wasn't meant to be. And he realized that he would be with the rebels, because he had joined Avshalom's side. So, 22, Achitofel saw. He lo nasa atzaso. He saw that his advice wasn't followed. So, he got on his donkey and he went home. You ever meet people like that? If they don't get it their way, they go on their donkey and they go home.
I pick up my marbles.
That's right. I pick up my marbles. It's interesting it mentions that donkey is very stubborn. You know, if it's not my way, I'm not. You don't listen to me, I'm going. Right? I think that's it's interesting. It says he saddled his donkey. This guy's the prime minister. Prime minister doesn't saddle his own donkey. You get your lad to saddle your donkey. No, he was so angry that he was going to saddle his donkey himself and walk and go out of there. Vayakam v'yel, he went to his home, Elir v'tzav es beso, he wrote his will, v'yachonik, and he killed himself. V'yamas, v'kavr kever avi, and he was buried in his parents' grave. So that's the end of Achitophel. So it's just why did he do this? He saw the handwriting on the wall. He realized that Avshalom was not going to last as a leader. The real picture emerged why his advice wasn't followed. And he realized that he would be a rebel against David and he'd be killed. The rule is that if a person rebels against the king, then his property is forfeited. And if his property is forfeited, his kids wouldn't inherit him, and his kids could be all put in jail. And so he decided that he'd be better off killing himself, and this way his kids wouldn't inherit him. So some people say that he was so intellectual that he even thought this process out. The Gemara says that he lost his share in the world to come. It's one of the things that some people, they plan everything out all the way. They think they can control the whole world. You can't take your own life. It's not up to you to do that. A person can have all the reasons in the world why they don't want to go on with life. The world will be better. It's not something people are supposed to do. There's another interesting medrash that it says that when David was getting, the previous year, David had been getting ready to build the temple, and he dug the foundations. And they couldn't plug the well. They dug the well, and they had water coming out and other stuff coming out, and they didn't know how to plug the well. I guess they didn't have one of these tankers that would, they didn't know what to do, and there was a danger of a flash flood. The well was coming out, and the houses were starting to get flooded. And Achitophel was insulted that David hadn't asked his advice or done, so he didn't really tell him how to solve the problem, how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. So David finally said, if somebody in my cabinet knows the solution and doesn't tell me, they should choke. And so Achitophel finally told him. He said, do X, Y, Z, and he advised him how to seal the well. That's what the Medrash says. And so, therefore, eventually, that's how he died, is that he choked, that he punished the... Because he didn't want to help. He didn't want... if someone didn't ask him advice, he wasn't going to help him. And there are people like that. I'll help him if he asks me. But he has to show me the honor of asking. If you can help a person, help the person. If the person doesn't give you the honor or respect, it's nice. Maybe we want that honor or that respect or their acknowledgement. But at the end of the day, if we really want to help people, just help them. But there are people like that. If he doesn't come to me, I'm not going to save him. It's his own fault for not asking me. Well, we go help him. And so that's this Achitophel. It's this very big arrogance.
I found this very interesting, because when you think of everything that Achitophel did, you think of a senior advisor,
mm-hmm.
and yet it says here he was only 33 years old.
He right.
He was a young man.
Well, we don't know how old people lived in those times, but yeah.
But 33.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even at
it's pretty young.
33 is a pretty young age to
right.
have achieved. Yeah, but how could right. he be her grandfather if he was only 33?
Right. So Tosos asked that question.
Yeah. Oh.
Some people say Bathsheba that the mother gave birth at like 11 or 12 or something like that, but they try to figure it out. It's not so clear. There's different opinions about how old he was or what happened. The reason why they assume he's 33 is the Dovin HaMelech in Tehillim said that those that attack Hashem won't live out half their days. And so in his time, the average life was 70 years. So it was understood that he lived less than 35 years old. That was that's how they figured out that he died before. Because specifically referring to Achitophel, he didn't live past that. He didn't make it to middle age. So yeah, he was had to be pretty young then. So that's what happened to Achitophel. But back to Avshalom's camp, 24. But David bo Menachanim. So David came to a place called Machanaim. Avshalom over the Jordan. Now Avshalom, meanwhile, crosses the Jordan. Vehu v'kol yish Yisrael. He came with all the men of Israel. Most people say he didn't have all the men of Israel. I mean, you couldn't have everybody together. But he got a certain amount of people, and he went on the offensive. Ves Amasa. Now, who was his general? This is also fascinating, and this is going to play a role a little bit later. So who do you choose to lead the people? Now, the great general, the great warrior all the years was Yoav. There was nobody like him. Yoav was a very great, the Middle East has never been a hospitable place. We always had lots of enemies. And so it's very important to have a very strong general. That's what brought the peace and security that they had, that enabled King Solomon to finally, everything was at rest. And that all came through Yoav. So who was he going to appoint to lead the people? As Amasa, he took somebody named Amasa, Tachas Yoav Atzava. Now, if you want to know who Amasa is, he's Ben Ish Ushmo Yisra, a Yisraeli. He's somebody's son whose name was Yisra. There, Shavu El Avigail, but Nachash Achus Shruya Aim Yoav. Basically, it was David's nephew, who was the cousin of Yoav. So this is going to be a family war here. In other words, David is going to fight against his son, and Yoav is going to fight against his cousin. Right? That's the... it's very interesting dynamic, so hard to understand that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it strange saying that he was the son of a man whose name was? Usually it just says Ben, whatever his name is.
That's a good question. There's a discussion about that. Why the wording of this verse implies that there's a message going on here, or there's something happening. What's funny here is the name, the daughter of Nachash. Nachash is usually snake. We don't like to use the name snake in Judaism. It's just not a nice way to describe somebody, especially a woman. There's a tradition that the father was a very righteous person. And Nachash means that somebody who died because of the snake, who didn't have any sins, was considered, this family was a very great family and very special people. Amasa was mentioned earlier as one of the officers of Shaul HaMelech. And actually, Amasa had stood up for David at an earlier time. But at this time, apparently, he was appointed to do it. What's interesting is we keep mentioning David's sister, Sruya. Mm-hmm. She's this famous lady. Again, she must have been something special, because, again, we never mention the man. We always talk about Sruya. It's simple to me that if David was as great as he was, and his sister must have been something special, too. And so, therefore, her children were Yoav and Amasa. It's not easy to have two children, and both of them are the great generals and warriors and heroes that they would be. So, 26. V'yichan Yisrael v'avshalom eretz ha-Gilad. So Yisrael and Avshalom, they camped in Gilad. V'yikavo David Machanayim. Now David was encamped in a place called Machanayim. V'shavi ben Nachash Merus ben Amma. Now David did not have a lot of supplies. Avshalom had the advantage that he had the country behind him, and so they supplied his army. David would want to have an army. You need lots of supplies. You need ammunition. You need food. So where did that come from? So different people came to David to help. One person called Shovi, another person called Machir ben Amiel, Melo Dover, and then Ubar Zilai Hagiladi, Meroglin. These three people came to him with supplies. These were the three messengers that came. And each one is a story by itself, who they are. There are lots of traditions about who they were and why they came. The first one is strange because it sounds like he's an Ammonite. And the Ammonites were the ones that David had fought war with. There's a tradition that one of them converted, and he became a follower of David. The king had converted, the first one, Beshovi ben Nachash Mirvus ben Ayamon, and that he had later on come to David's rescue, so to speak. And then we'll see this Mocher ben Amiel, Mole Dover, he was one of the people that had hid King Shaul's son, Mephibosheth, at an earlier time. And then Barzillai HaGiladi, we'll see a little bit more about him. But these were Hashem's messengers. There are times when you can help out a person when they're down, and that can be this, they save the day. Verse 28, what did they bring? Mishkav, Sapos, Kliyotzer, Chitim, Misorim, Kemel, Kali, Pol, Vadashim. They brought good food. They brought wheat and barley and grain and lentils and Kali. It's interesting that we get the menu. Yeah, 20. I mean, why do we need to know? They brought food, right? Udvash, they brought honey, v'chemot. I guess it was in honor of the king. V'tzon, usvaspa, they got flocks and everything. Kish l'David la'ama she'ita lechom. They brought them to David and to his people. Ki omra am roi v'oyif v'tzomei. They must be starved there in the day. It's the Jewish mother syndrome. You know, give them a good meal, then they'll be able to fight. You can't just bring them bread and water. I mean, you want to give somebody strength. You got to show them that you care. And when you cook that home-cooked meal, you know, for that child, it makes all the difference in the world. It refreshes them. And so they were out to refresh David and his army. And we're going to see it worked. Because they showed that they didn't just bring, they brought extra things in order, they didn't want them to be tired and hungry in the desert. They wanted them to be refreshed. And we're going to see that eventually they're going to lead David back to victory. So it's just such an interesting, you know, story about how the battle is going to be set. And we're going to leave you on the cliffhanger. Stay tuned with David and Avshalom encamped opposite each other. We'll see what happens next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.